The ninth illusion, the illusion of superiority, may be used to experience that no thing is superior to any other thing, and that inferiority is likewise a fiction. All things are equal, yet you cannot know that all things are equal, when equality is all there is. If everything is equal, then nothing is equal, for the very idea of equalness is something that cannot be experienced, inasmuch as there is only one thing, and it is all equal to itself. A thing cannot be unequal to itself. If you take a thing and divide it into parts, the parts equal the whole. They are not less than the whole, simply because they have been taken apart. Yet the illusion of inequality allows each of the parts to notice itself as the part that it is, rather than seeing itself as the whole. You cannot see yourselves as a part unless you see yourselves as a part. Do you understand? You cannot conceive of yourself as a part of God unless you imagine yourself to be apart from God. Put another way, you cannot see me unless you stand back and look at me. Yet you cannot stand back and look at me if you think you are me. So you must imagine that you are not me in order to experience me. You are equal to God, and this equality with God is something that you yearn to experience. You are not inferior to God, nor to anything at all. Yet you cannot know or experience lack of inferiority in a context where nothing is superior. You have therefore created the illusion of superiority, that you might know that you are equal to everything, which is to say that you are superior to nothing. Your oneness with God cannot be experienced outside of a context in which lack of oneness or disunity is possible. You must be within that context, or what we have called here the illusion, in order to know the truth that exists outside of the illusion. You must be in this world, but not of it. Likewise, your equality with God, and with everything and everyone in life, is not experienceable unless and until you can experience inequality. It is for this reason that you have created the illusion of superiority. There is another benefit to the idea of superiority as well. By imagining yourself as superior to the conditions and circumstances of your life, you allow yourself to experience the aspect of your being that is bigger than all of those conditions and circumstances, a point which was made earlier. There is a wonderful part of you that you call upon when faced with negative conditions and circumstances. Some of you call this courage. The illusion of superiority has thus been very useful to you as you have lived within the larger illusion called life in the physical realm. For it has given you the strength to rise above negative circumstances and to overcome them. When you see this illusion as an illusion, you will understand that there is no part of you that is superior to all of it, because every part of you is all of it. You will then not call upon courage. You will know that you are courage. You will not call upon God. You will know that you are the aspect of God that you would call upon. You are the caller and the called, the changer and the changed, the creator and the created, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. That is what you are, because that is what I am, and you are made in the image and likeness of me. You are me. I am you. I move in you, as you, and through you. In you I have my being, in everyone, and in all things. Therefore, none of you is superior to another. Such a thing cannot be. Yet you have created the illusion of superiority, that you might know the power of you, and by extension the power of everyone, the unity and the equality of you with God and all others, and the unity and equality of everyone with God and others. Yet you must be told that this illusion is a very dangerous one, if pain and suffering is something that you wish to avoid. I have already told you that pain and suffering are avoided when you experience your oneness with each other and with God. It is the illusion of superiority that denies this unity and creates even greater separation. Superiority is the most seductive idea ever visited upon the experience of humans. It can feel so good when you are the one who is imagining yourself to be superior. Yet it can feel so bad when another is claiming to be superior to you. Be careful with this illusion, then, because it is a powerful one. It must be understood deeply, completely. The idea of superiority can be a great gift within the world of relative experience, as I have shown you. It can indeed bring you the strength and the courage to see yourself and experience yourself as larger than your circumstance, greater than your oppressors, more than you yourself thought yourself to be. Yet it can be insidious. Even religions, the one human institution which was supposedly created to bring you closer to God, have too often used superiority as their chief tool. Our religion is superior to the other religion, many institutions have declared, thus doing more to separate human beings on the path to God than to unite them. States and nations, races and genders, political parties and economic systems have sought to use their supposed superiority to attract attention, respect, agreement, adherence, power, or simply members. What they have produced by using this tool has been anything but superior. Yet the largest part of the human race seems blind or is strangely silent. It cannot see that its own superiority-based behaviors are actually producing inferiority in every way. Or it does see this and simply refuses to admit it. The result is that the cycle of claiming superiority as justification for its actions and then suffering the inferior results of those actions goes on and on. There is a way to break out of this cycle. See this illusion as an illusion. Understand and know at last that we are all one. The human race and all of life is a unified field. It is all one thing. There is, therefore, nothing to be superior to, and nothing that is superior to you. This is the essential truth of the life experience. Is the tulip superior to the rose? Are the mountains more majestic than the sea? Which snowflake is the most magnificent? Is it possible that they are all magnificent, and that, celebrating their magnificence together, they create an awesome display? Then they melt into each other and into the oneness. Yet they never go away. They never disappear. They never cease to be. Simply, they change form. And not just once, but several times. From solid to liquid, from liquid to vapor, from the seen to the unseen. And then to return again in displays of breathtaking beauty and wonder. This is life, nourishing life. This is you. The metaphor is complete. The metaphor is real. You will make this real in your experience when you simply decide that it is true and act that way. See the beauty and the wonder of all those whose lives you touch. For you are each wondrous indeed, yet no one more wondrous than another. And you will all one day melt into the oneness and know then that you form together a single stream. Such a knowing will change the entirety of your experience on earth. It will change your politics, your economics, your social interactions, the way you educate your young. It will bring you, at last, heaven on earth. When you see that superiority is an illusion, you will know that inferiority is an illusion as well. Then you will feel the wonder and the power of equality with each other and with God. Your idea about yourself will become larger, and the reason for the illusion of superiority will have been realized. For the larger your idea of you, the larger will be your experience. Always remember that. The larger your idea of you, the larger will be your experience.
The tenth illusion, the illusion of ignorance, has produced the idea that you don't know any of this, that everything which has just been said is new to you, and that you can't comprehend it. This illusion allows you to continue living in the realm of relativity. Yet you do not have to continue living as you have been living, in pain and in suffering, hurting yourselves and each other, waiting, waiting, waiting for better times yet to come, or for your eternal reward in heaven. You can have your heaven on earth. You can live in your garden of paradise. You were never cast out. I would never do that to you. You know this. In your heart, you already know this. Just as you know about the oneness of humanity and of all life, just as you know about the equality of everything and that love is unconditional, you know all these things and more, and you hold this knowing deeply in your soul. Ignorance is an illusion. You use the illusion wisely when you see it as an illusion. When you know that it is not true that you do not know, you know, and you know that you know. This is what is said of all masters. They know that they know, and they use their knowing to live with, and not within, the illusory world in which they have placed themselves. This makes them appear in your world as if they are magicians, creating and using all life's illusions easily. Not knowing is a wonderful illusion and useful. It allows you to know again, to learn again, to remember once more. It allows you to re-experience the cycle, to become a snowflake. It is the illusion that you do not know that allows you to know what you know. If you know everything and know that you know it, then you can know nothing. Look deeply into this truth, and you will understand it. Give yourself the illusion, then, that you are ignorant of something, anything. In that moment, you will have the experience of that of which you are not ignorant, and what you know will suddenly become apparent to you. This is the wonder of humility. This is the power in the statement, "There is something here I do not know," the knowing of which could change everything. This single statement can heal the world. The call to humility is a call to glory. And in terms of your theology, there could be no greater tool for advancement. I have inspired it to be said that a little humility theology is what the world needs. A little less assurance that you know it all, and a little more willingness to continue the search, to acknowledge that there may be something that you do not know, the knowing of which could change everything. I say again, not knowing leads to knowing. Knowing it all leads to not knowing anything. That is why the illusion of ignorance is so important. And so it is too with all the illusions. They are the keys to your experience of who you really are. They open the door from the realm of the relative to the realm of the absolute, the door to everything. Yet, as with all 10 illusions, when the illusion of ignorance runs away with you, when it becomes your total experience, your ever-present reality, then it no longer serves you. Then you are like the magician who has forgotten his own tricks. You become one who is fooled by his own illusions. Then will you need to be saved by another, someone who sees through the illusion, who wakes you up and reminds you of who you really are. This soul will truly be your savior, even as you can truly be the savior of others by simply reminding them of who they really are, by giving them back to themselves. Savior is just another word for reminder. It is someone who reminds you, someone who remembers you, causing you to be of a new mind and to once again know yourself as a member of the body of God. Do this for others, for you are today's Savior. You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. You are the one I have sent to bring the others home. Therefore, step out of the illusion, but not away from it. Live with it, but not within it. Do this, and you will be in this world, but not of it. You will know your own magic, and what you know, you will grow. Ever larger will be your idea about your magic until you one day understand that you are the magic. Always remember that. That you are the magic.